Morning. I'm going to do something a little abnormal this morning. I'm not going to read the translation you might see on the screen. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, in the Amplified is wonderful. It really brings out some things that I think will be a blessing. So rather than look at the screen or your app, either here or at home, just close your eyes if you don't mind and just listen. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds.
Good morning. I don't need this. All right. So, Pastor Bill is still on vacation. He's still in Colorado, so I get the privilege of continuing our a little sub-message on Hebrews. And Pastor Ryan did a fabulous job last week, so if you didn't hear it, make sure you go back to the website or the app and you can check that out. He did a great job. I'm going to kind of try to skim over what he did, because if I don't want to butcher what he did. He did a great job. But I get to preach about two of my great three loves. And all of you are like, sweet. Well, A, it's going to be scripture. And you're like, he's going to talk about his family again, isn't he? And no, I'm not. All right, so my family is off limits this week. I will not talk about my wife, my daughter, or my son, but it will be about running. I am a coach at Indian Trail. I coach cross country and track distance. And so I thought I would take as much time today as it will take. I could pick someone. Anyone want to volunteer for a 5K? That's 3.1 miles today. You can go out the doors right now. You start running. When you come back, I'll finish. Anyone? Anyone? No? Okay. All right. So then I get as much time as I want. So, again, like I said, Pastor Ryan last week talked about Hebrews, and he gave a little pretest, and he said, hey, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. And I said, no, not so much. Listen. We know that Hebrews, whoever wrote it, was influenced by Paul. And if you look at a lot of Paul's writings, he talks about running a lot. All right? He talks about endurance and racing. And therefore, I have a very good hunch that Paul was a distance runner. He went out for runs. And you're like, way back then, they didn't have shoes to run. No, they probably didn't. But he was a distance runner. He went out for a ton of runs. I guarantee it. You cannot talk about running the way he does and not have actually done it yourself. So, therefore, the person that wrote Hebrews was Paul's running partner. So, I know this because I run with my counter coach. His name's Coach Vanderhoff, or I call him Coach Vandy. And we run and we talk about everything. I know everything about his life. We talk about family. We talk about politics. We talk about running a lot. And we talk about religion, too. And so we start to have this common language. And so I'm really thinking that Paul had a running partner. Who that is, I have no idea. But if you can figure that out, I think you can figure out who wrote Hebrews. So today's message. All right, I'm going to give you, it's going to be challenging and hopefully encouraging at the same time. All right, if you are new to this faith race, I'm going to give you the same encouragement I give my kids that come to cross country. Just keep coming. All right. When they come that first day, their eyes are big and wide open. They're like, I don't want to do this. And they're like, I can't run more than 5 minutes. And most of them can't. And at the end, when I said, go run 30 minutes, they're like, what? They come back at the end of the day. I said, just keep coming. It'll get easier and easier. Just keep coming. Keep coming to church. Keep reading the Bible. Keep praying. Just keep coming. And then we have our seasoned believers, our mature believers, we like to say. And they're kind of like my seasoned runners or my juniors and seniors. And this message hopefully will be an encouragement to remember why you're doing this race. I have to remind my runners sometimes, we do it because we love to run. We love to compete. Sometimes they get bogged down with all the different little, you know, pressures that are put on them from all these different angles. Just remember, we're here to compete. So here we go. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. I'll only read the first part. Therefore, since we were surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Now, I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to talk about the witnesses of faith. Pastor Ryan did a great job talking about this. Again, go back and listen to his message. But it just reminds me of like the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If you go down the halls, there are all these statues of these heads of all these men, and you walk down this hall, and they're all staring at you. They're not really alive. They're not really staring at you, but it's a reminder of what they have accomplished. And so, therefore, chapter 11 talked about Moses and Jacob and Joshua and all them. It's a reminder to you of what they have accomplished in their faith, and it's supposed to encourage us, all right? So that's the cloud of witnesses we're talking about. It might also be a family member, a husband, a wife who have passed, a child, a mother, father. Use their faith walk as an encouragement to your own. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Like our athletes, when we run cross country, they come to the starting line not in their warm-ups. When we get to a meet, cross country meet, state cross country, it was 36 degrees this year. They don't get off the bus in their t-shirt and shorts. They are wearing full jogging suits, stocking hats, gloves, everything, because it is cold. They warm up, they get all their sweat going, and then 3 minutes before the race, they strip it all off. They take it all off. And then they end up running in just these little tiny shorts and this tiny little shirt in 36 degrees. They don't do because it looks cool, although it's pretty sweet, I'm not gonna lie. But they don't do it because it looks cool. They do it because it makes them run the best possible race. It makes them run their fastest race. So we need to strip away those things. And like Pastor Ryan said, we're not talking about sin in this one. It could be family, it could be sports, it could be shopping, it could be the internet, whatever, and kind of trips you up a little bit, right? Throw it to the side. If it gets in the way of you being loving, joyful, patient, kindness, holy, self-control, throw it to the side. Pastor Ryan talked about the Vikings. I could talk about the Bucks. How many wives here heard their husbands screaming at the TV last night? Go ahead, raise your hand. It's okay. We're going to call them out. Stop raising your hand. That's not fair. Yes, it was me screaming every night at the Bucks. Go Bucks. Anyways, the question is not necessarily is it sin or not. That's a good question to ask. But is it getting in the way of me running better? Or even better yet, is it getting in the way of me focusing on Christ and running my best race? And so we need to strip it off. And then the sin that we were talking about so easily trips us up, right? When I was, me and Coach Vanderhoff were running up at Parkside, and we run through all the trails, and I know that place like the back of my hand. And so we were running one day, and he was following me, and he's like, where are we going? I'm like, I don't know. We're just running. We're about 7 miles in. Just joking, we were like two. And we were in the woods, and I was like, let's go out to this open field. And he's like, sure. And I take a right, and I go through the opening, and wham, right on my face. There was a barbed wire that went across the ground about 6 inches. I didn't see. Caught my foot, slammed me to the ground, knocked the wind out of me, basically broke my pinky finger. And he's like, you all right? And I'm like, no, not at all. It hurt. That's sin. Sin is there to grab you and tangle your feet and throw you to the ground. It's the stress fractures and the torn ligaments and the sprained ankles that take you completely out of the race, not allowing you to run your best race. Galatians 5 talks about envy, strife, jealousness, fits of anger, division, sexual immorality. You know all those. Those are the sins that Satan puts in your path to throw you to the ground, to take you out of the race so you don't fix your eyes on the finish line. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. Throw it to the side. Throw it away. Don't go down that path. Now, there are two important notes about competing that we need to go in before we hit this next verse, because this is when we talk about really running. Number one, you need to understand about competing. We are not competing against other Christians. So often we look at other Christians and we're like, well, I'm doing it better than he is or she is. Well, look at how well I'm way farther ahead of them. Or how about our church is way better than their church? They're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not competing against them, all right? That's how we get tripped up. That will take us off our course. That will not allow us to finish. We are competing against Satan. We're competing against the world and our old selves. So remember that when you're competing in this race that God has set before you. And our strength, number two, does not come from yourself. It comes from the Holy Spirit, all right? The Holy Spirit is the one that gives you the endurance. You cannot endure on your own strength. That's why I think so many Christians, when you see them, are beaten down, tired, and weary. It's because they're trying to do it on their own. So stop. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Holy Spirit. Listen, pay attention to him, pray to him, and he will give you the strength to endure this race that is long. Some of us are going to run a 5K, 3.1 miles. Some of us are going to run a 10K, 6.2 miles. Some of us are going to run marathon 23.2 miles, and some of us are going to run an ultra marathon. I hope that's not me, but it might. And if it is, I will try to run the race that God has set before me. So here we go. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before you. Let us. It doesn't say let you run it or let your pastor run it or let your wife run it. Let us, as a collective whole, we all are in the race. We all need to run. And some of you are looking at me and going, I don't run. Yes, you do. And if you don't, you better start. I've heard so many times, if you see me running, you better be running. Funny, but I always get mad because I'm like, run. I'm like, I don't know. I'll move on. But anyways, so let us all run. It doesn't say walk. It doesn't say sit on the sidelines and cheer on. We need to be a participant in the race. We need to run. And we need to run with endurance. Endurance is a steady determination to keep on going. Keep on going forward. All right? And how do we do that? I already talked about one way. Holy Spirit, right? Rest in the Holy Spirit. Have him help you run this endurance race. But there's other ways too. Get an accountability partner, right? Have somebody that speaks truth into your life and lifts you up in prayer. And then you do the same for them. I just had a missionary call me and ask me if I could be his accountability partner and pray for him for different things. Absolutely. If that's going to help him run his race and give him extra endurance. Find an accountability partner. Find someone that you can trust and you know that's following God to speak truth into your life. And that will help you run with endurance. I love running with the kids at cross country. I run almost every day with them, as long as I'm physically able. And we do these workouts, and I laugh at them because, for example, on Friday, we did 800 meters. That's two times around track, but we did it in the woods and up hills and stuff. And the first one, boom, they're gone. And I'm way behind them. I'm falling behind. And then I finish kind of near behind them. But by the fifth one, they're way behind me because I understand endurance. I understand the length of the workout. They go so fast in the beginning, and then they leave everything out there that they have nothing left at the end. And that's what we need to make sure is that we're running with endurance. We know the length of the race is not a short one. It's not a sprint. So many of us see people running in sprints, especially new believers. You ever see the new believer that comes to Christ and they just give me, take, just give me so much Bible and Jesus and everything. And you're like, man, I wish I was like them. And then one of two things happens. They realize it's an endurance race. Not that you should stop doing what they're doing, but it's going to be a while. Or they fade out and stop running the race completely. All right, so it's an endurance race. It's a long race. Think of the the parable about the sower, right, or the seeds. Don't be that seed that falls in the rock, spurts up quick, and then when the sun hits it, dies away. Be that one that's planted in good soil and lasts forever. We need to run and think long-term for the endurance race that we're going to run. Then goes on to say, the race that God has set before us. Here's going to be a shocker for some of you, all right? The word race in Greek is agon, short for, anyone? Agony. Agony. Some of you are like, oh, that makes sense. Yes, that now I get what you're talking about. Running is agony. Yes, I totally agree. My first race, when I ran in high school, when I was a freshman, I got to the starting line, and my stomach was just dancing. And I don't know if you've ever been to a cross-country meet, but when when you're all standing at the line, you all stand, you got your foot planted, and they go 10, 9, you have to be still, 8, 7, 6, 5, and then they go silent. And then the gun goes off. It's whenever the guy wants to shoot it. And you're just like, agony, because you know what's about to happen is going to hurt. This race you run, this faith race you run, will hurt. It will not feel good at times, all right? And so we need to make sure that we run this race knowing that there's going to be pain, all right? There's going to be pain. Now, there's also going to be obstacles in your way. So Satan's not just going to sit on the sideline and say, hey, have a fun race, enjoy, I'll cheer you on. No, he's going to put things in your way. Your race that God has set before you is going to look different than my race. Some of race's courses have these huge hills. Some have windy turns, some have downhills. If you get back in the woods, there's stumps everywhere, right? He's going to put obstacles in your way. He's going to put stumps in your way so that you trip up. He wants you to take a wrong turn on the course. He doesn't want you to fix your eyes on the finish line. He doesn't want you to fix your eyes on Christ and finish well. He wants to take you completely out of the race. It might be your work. It might be your family. It might be your marriage. We all struggle with something. I ran a race in high school, Middleton. And in the middle of the race, there's a creek. And you had to run through with up to your knees in water. And it's always in the middle of October, so it was always cold. And nobody likes to run with your feet wet. There's always obstacles you have to get through. All right? And like I said, everyone's race is different. Some of us are going to be running uphill for a long time in the beginning. Some of us are going to be downhill real quick. Some of us are going to have some random turns in there that are going to throw us off. My race is different than your race. And that's another reason we don't compare ourselves to other Christians. Because God has a specific will. He's given you talents and gifts for a specific reason. Your race is what God intended you to run. My race looks different. In cross country, we also have this website called athletic.net. And on there, they post the athletes' times when they run these courses. And so we always kind of compare. We're like, all right, our top runners with this top runner. And we kind of compare. And we're like, oh, we might make it to the state meet. We might. And that's what we start talking about, right? Well, every year, Oak Creek, who's in our conference, is running about the same as us, or we might be a little better. And all of a sudden, we look, and they're 45 seconds faster than us. And we're like, whoa, what happened? Their training must have just exploded. And then we always go back and look at what course they ran. And the course they run once every year is 45 seconds short. And so we always have to remind ourselves, our race is not the same as theirs. We can't compare until you stand toe-to-toe on the same line. But God has us running different courses. All right? Now, fix our eyes. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Fix your eyes on the prize. You've heard that. And Jesus is our champion. He is the champion because he ran the race perfectly. He started the race out perfectly. He ran in the middle of it perfectly, and he ended it perfectly. He's the only one to run the race perfectly. He did not fall to temptation when Satan tried to tempt him, where Adam and Eve did. He ran it perfectly. He did not, he asked the Father to take the cup away from him, so that he didn't want to do that part. But instead, God said, "You will." Turned his back, and he fulfilled that will. He did it anyways, because that's what the Father wanted. He ran it perfectly, and then he died. When we see a champion, we should want to, and if we're in the same sport, we should want to emulate what they do, how they do it. There's a guy named Gabe Jennings who I ran against. He ended up running in the Olympics, actually, and I ran against him in high school, and he beat me by about that much. So I actually kind of consider myself an Olympian because, I mean, if I just lost to him by that much, I should have been in the Olympics. I just had some things that my race went sideways a little bit down the road. Now, actually, he was a freshman in his first race. I was a senior, so he got a lot better after that. but anyways, we want to emulate the training, right? Jesus's his race was perfect. So we want to emulate the training that happens when they go on a race. So, like, for example, he got baptized. We should get baptized. He taught the word, so we should teach the word. He went out and preached. We should go and preach. He discipled. We should disciple. Those are things that we need to train and do just because he did it. He did it the best, so we need to do it as well. And we're all in different maturities in our Christian faith. So our training is going to be the same, but our paces are going to be different. So when I train the kids in cross country, boys, girls, JV, varsity, our training is the same. We all run 800s, but they're all at different paces. They all run at different speeds, and their speed is appropriate to them and their training. And so we need to do the same. If you expect to be a great runner, you can't just show up the day of the race and not put in any training. You have to put in the training, and it has to be specific to your goal. And our goal should be to run like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes through strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone runs aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating into the air. No, I strike a blow into my body and make it my slave, so after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. So we need to train. The verse goes on to say in Hebrews, because of the joy awaiting him, another way you could put it is because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at a place of honor beside God's throne. Jesus' focus was on the finish line, not the obstacles in his way. The cross in Deuteronomy chapter 21 says it's considered a curse by God. He didn't focus on the cross. He had his eyes on the finish line. He didn't worry about the cross. Yeah, he knew it was coming. He asked God to take it away if it was his will. But he knew the end finish line. He knew what the goal was. We need to be the same way. When I was in high school, I knew this was the goal. This little tiny gold medal. It was the sectional championship medal, which meant if you won this, you got to run at state. Now you're probably like, wouldn't the state medal be the goal? Yeah, it wasn't good enough. So I knew this was my goal, all right? But this was my goal. This is what I fixed my eyes on. One time, I can't remember if it was my junior or senior year, me and another teammate got in this argument, and all of a sudden we got in this push and shoving match. And it was like, we almost got in a fight. And the other teammates are like, hey, just decided on the course. So I went into the sectional cross-country meet thinking I'm going to beat my teammate. Fighting other Christians, right? Dumb idea. Halfway through the race, I realized if I want to go to state, I need to fix my eyes on what I need to do in that finish line. And so I made sure I ran my best ability and not compete against my brother, who I needed on my side to get to state as well. So Jesus ran for the reward. His reward, he ran because of the will of the Father was to die on the cross. He wanted to give joy to God the Father. And when he did, he said, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." And then he placed honor on him, and he placed him at the right hand of the throne. And he said, "Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." We need to run for the reward as well. And guess what? It's not heaven. It's not heaven. So many people run or think they're running for heaven. That'd be the shortest race ever, because as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have heaven. That's the start line. It's not heaven. That's why people that don't believe are always trying to work towards this goal, this line that doesn't exist. If they accepted Jesus, that would be the start line. Our reward is the same as Jesus. It's to fulfill the will of the Father in our life. And when we do that, the finish line is Jesus. It's Him forever. We will get to stand face to face with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in perfect, sinless harmony because of what Christ did in His race. That is our reward. And then God the Father will hand us a crown of righteousness, and we will turn around and set it at the feet of Christ because of His perfect race. When we cross that finish line, Jesus will be waiting there for us with His arms out wide. Get ready to just hold us up. You've seen those races on TV, right? Where the guy crosses the finish line, and his arms are up, but then he just collapses into one of his teammates or his family's arms. Totally exhausted, totally excited, but totally exhausted. Christ is waiting for you at that finish line with His arms out, ready to hold you up and say, "Well done, my son or daughter." The worst thing you can do is to look back. Don't look back. Keep your eyes fixed at the finish line. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ. Philippians 3:13-14. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 3. Think of all the hostility He endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. All right. It's giving you a command here. Think. You guys all thinking? You ready? Think of all the hostility He endured from sinful people. Go ahead. Just take a second and think. You can even close your eyes and think of what He endured, all the hostility. You got a picture of it? Now, did any of you picture yourself? Because it didn't say He endured back then just those people. It said sinful people. And last I checked, everyone in here is a sinner. He endured your hostility upon His shoulders on that cross. Think about that one burden, that one sin, because I feel like we probably all have one at least, if not many, that just burdened you, it carried you down, it dragged you down. It was hard to get through. You couldn't throw it off. And He took that upon His shoulders. And He didn't just take yours. He took every single person's. The hostility He endured from sinful people. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 36 through 37, talked about the hall of faith, right? And what they endured, mocking, flogged, stoned, sawed in two, killed with a sword, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. And that was nothing compared to what Jesus endured. Jesus endured His own people from His own town talking trash about Him. They were like, "Wasn't that the carpenter? He's not God." And then they threatened to kill Him. He endured fatigue. He endured hunger. He endured peer pressure from the disciples. Peter, remember, he told them, get behind me, Satan. He endured being betrayed by the disciples. He was abandoned by the disciples at the last hour, falsely accused and rejected by his own Jewish leaders, mocked by Roman guards, and so much more. He endured the cross. He took every single sin, past, present, future. The Father turned his back, put him on his shoulders, nailed him to the cross, and died and paid the full penalty that we could not do ourselves because he loved you. That is enduring. That's why he's champion. That's why he's the perfecter of our faith. Romans 5, verse 6 through 8. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will someone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus did what only Jesus could do. He died on the cross. And it's because he loved us so much more than we could ever, ever fathom. Therefore, it says, do not give up. Do not become weary. So I say to you, Kenosha Bible Church, KBC, run. Run. If you are not in the race, get back in the race and run. Run with endurance. And I'm going to give a little push. If you are retired or older and you think your race has already been in the past, wrong. Your finish line is only your finish line when Christ says it is finished. So run. Use your gifts and your talents until he says it is finished. Kenosha Bible Church, run. I'm going to be your coach right now. There's no crying. Keep running. Isaiah 40, 31. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who put their hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I don't like the last part, but it's still Bible. Our application. Evaluate your life. Are you running the race well? If not, who or what is hindering you from doing so? And what are you going to do about it? Galatians 5, 7 says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Think about it this week. That's your goal. Are you running the race? And are you running it well? If not, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to change it? How are you going to get back in that race? How are you going to pick yourself up from stumbling and falling and get running again? That is your goal. 1 Corinthians 9, I read it already once, just at the beginning. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run as in such a way to get the prize. So I say again, KBC, run. Get back in the race. Have faith that Christ will provide the strength through the Holy Spirit, and run until he says it is finished. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. May it encourage us and lift us up. May we evaluate our lives, and if there's a reason why we're stumbling, may we pick ourselves up and throw it to the side. May we run a race that is worthy of you. May we emulate your race, which is to go teach, preach, baptize, take communion, and remember who you are. May Kenosha Bible Church be a people who do not compete against other Christians, but join together in that race, lifting each other up and run the race that is worthy of your Son. Lord, be with us this week as we run. Give us the endurance to last. It's in your Son's name we pray.